Welcome. You are about to take a journey to a place of the divine love within with Deborah Bouffet on the Love by Intuition show. For the next hour, allow her to prepare you in becoming a magnet for a profound love-infused relationship by identifying and focusing on solutions through love. Awaken the light within and let your essence shine. And now, here's Deborah Bouffet on Love by Intuition, all part of the Dream Vision 7 Radio
Welcome
Network.
Welcome, everyone. Bonjour, mes amis. And yes, here I am again, Deborah Bouffet, founder and owner of the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. And for those that may be just tuning in for the first time, because you never know, you may have found us, that we are the media partner for the Omega Institute in Rhinebeck, New York. We have all the bells and whistles to listen to the shows wherever you are, whether you're in the car with Bluetooth, or you have Alexa, or your any of your mobile devices. Well, we have an excellent show for you this evening, and my guest is the amazing, phenomenal Andrew Harvey, and we're going to be talking about Turn Me to Gold. There's 108 poems of Kabir, and they're translated by Andrew, and the photographs are by Brett Hurd. And I have to say, the quality of the book, the way they made it, the way they created the paper, is very thick and sumptuous. It's a beautiful book. And so Andrew's going to tell us all about how he came to spend so much time with Kabir. And really, it feels like with reading the book that you really, like, went right into the depths of Kabir's soul. So come on in and welcome back to the show, Andrew.
God, what a delight to be with you, Deborah. I love you. And as you know, Kabir is the deep obsession of my heart. But before I start speaking about him, I'd really love it if I could read one of his most joyful and amazing and challenging and glorious poems. And his poetry tends to be all of those things at once. Let me just read you this poem, which is something I love so much. The Lord himself is a guest in your heart. Why are you still so desperately seeking him? Offer your whole heart to him before night darkens it. How many eons you've waited for this momentous chance. Go near now to his heart. Offer yourself selflessly. He'll give you an ocean of ecstasy and explain to you himself love's mysteries and essence. Kabir says, how could I ever express how blessed I am to have won his unshakable love? That really goes to the core of Kabir, because Kabir is one of the major revolutionaries of mystical history, if not the greatest revolutionary as Jesus. I first fell in love with Kabir when I was 25. I was in Benares for the first time. I was in a temple. A wild old man with streaming white hair came in rags. He was a sadhu, a wandering beggar. And he started to sing with this thrilling, quavering, vulnerable, poignant, ecstatic voice. And I was rocked by his singing. And afterwards, I plucked up my courage. He was very strange looking. And went up to him and said, forgive me, sir, but who were you singing? And he looked at me and he said, oh, Kabir, of course, and walked out of the temple. And I had never heard of Kabir, but I thought, my God, if this man loved Kabir, and if it's Kabir, of course, I'd better plunge in. So I did. And I met Kabir for the first time in various translations, but especially the translations of Robert Bly. And I fell profoundly in love with Kabir then, and I recognized something in Kabir that I found nowhere else, a kind of blazing, naked directness, which thrilled me. But at the time, And for many, many, many years, I was plunged into my passion for Rumi, and I wrote many books on Rumi and translated and recreated many of Rumi's poems, and was part of the great, and part of the great Rumi Renaissance that has been such a thrilling movement in our time, so essential to the birth of the new human that's trying to take place. About 7 years ago, I had one of my periodic fits of bankruptcy and went to live in a log cabin in Arkansas, surrounded by green fields with inquisitive deer who came to my porch. And again, I rediscovered Kabir, and suddenly it became clear to me that Kabir is, with Rumi, one of the two universal mystical poets, someone whose work speaks to anyone on any path because it comes from such a profound and complete realization. And I realized something else, that in my own life, those 40 years of immersion in Rumi and the fire and the gorgeousness of what Rumi is had prepared me at last to confront Kabir, because Kabir is different from Rumi in three ways. Rumi was an aristocrat, and his poetry is lush and aristocratic and gorgeous and scented. Kabir was born a poor weaver. He was born into a Muslim family in 1440 in the holy Hindu city of Varanasi. And his poetry has the directness of a peasant. It has the lack of ornament, the lack of fla-fla of someone who has lived a very rigorous, raw, grueling life. And I realized that this quality is of direct, naked honesty, born from a difficult life, is something that we truly need at this moment. We need a voice out there, fully realized, that is absolutely no nonsense with us, because we are still trapped in so much narcissism while the world's burning. The second way in which Kabir is different from Rumi follows on in a way in the first, because Rumi's language, and God knows I love Rumi's language, Rumi's language is perfumed. It's rich, it's evocative, it's mysterious. Kabir is mysterious, but his language is very naked. And right. I found...
raw. It's like a raw sense,
yes.
I feel.
It's R-A-W and R-O-A-R, isn't it?
Yes, well said.
And this is also something that I think people need, because I've noticed in my 40 years of teaching Rumi that people can sometimes use Rumi unconsciously to get into a kind of spiritually narcotic state. But there's no way you can use Kabir like that, because Kabir is so hard-hitting that you either run away from the poem or you just embrace it totally as Himalayan truth blazing. And the third way in which Kabir is different from Rumi, and this I think is really essential to why I consider him the most important poet for our time, the real guide into the next level of empowerment, the third way is very exciting to me, because Kabir, it's obvious from the poems, and it became obvious as I plunged back into his entire work. I translated something like 900 poems to really get to the 108 that I really wanted to present to the world. Kabir lived through what I can only call a transfiguration experience. He lived through the divinization not only of the mind, not only of the heart, not only of the soul, but of the body. And this, I believe, is the real meaning of what's going on in our time, that we're going through a global dark night, which is potentially the birthing ground of a new embodied divine humanity. Because the next humanity, if we're going to have a next humanity, and the humanity that can deal with this immense crisis, is going to have to be a humanity that is utterly awake to the transcendent, but utterly grounded and precisely grounded and richly grounded and cannily and savvily grounded in the real facts of the embodied divine of this creation. Mm. And far more than Rumi, who is nearly always a transcendent poet of the highest kind, Kabir is a mysterious poet of what I call the sacred marriage, the marriage of the transcendent and the immanent, and his whole poetry is about turning to gold, engoldenment, the process, the mysterious process that's known in all of the mystical traditions, but has been kept secret, of how the human being can be transformed into an embodied divine human being. So when I really got that Rumi had prepared me to meet Kabir, had equipped me to start tremblingly and awe-inspiredly to begin translating him with the help of translations in many languages and great scholars in India who really took me through the poems, I realized that Kabir is the true voice of the new divine human, and that completely rocked my world. And I plunged for 5 years into a very intense experience of him inwardly, and out of that experience was born this book that has now been awarded the Nautilus Prize and the Kendall Prize and has had an unbelievable reception. I'm absolutely awed and thrilled by that, because it seems that other people are recognizing that we cannot anymore just treat Kabir as a lovely mystical poet that some people know. I believe he needs to be at the forefront of our evolution. So I'm absolutely honored to have done this book, and I'm thrilled by the photographs of Brett Hurd, because they're not at all pretty. They're not sweetie tweety and new agey.
But what I would like to say, Andrew, is I'm not familiar with Kabir until I read the poems, but you have a gift of the ability to articulate in a way of teaching the rest of us about him. And I want to say thank you for having that gift, because not everyone would be able to, you know, transform them into a way where we can feel and understand. So thank you for that.
Thank you. You know, I began as a poet. I published 5 volumes of poetry in my 20s before I wrote my first book in prose, which is Journey in Ladakh. And all of my life, I've loved translation, but I feel as if all the work I've done on Rumi and all the work I've done in translating other great mystics and texts has been a preparation for this, because Kabir is very, very hard to translate because he's so simple and you can't make one mistake. It's like playing the slow movement of a Mozart piano concerto, which on the page looks extremely simple, but actually only the very greatest pianists can play, because each note means something so overwhelmingly beautiful that if you don't get each note related to each note in exactly the right way, I'm not saying that I have done that, but I certainly sweated blood to do that. And people tell me that the poems now sing both in the most ancient way and in the most modern way. So I'm absolutely awed and thrilled. I think Kabir stepped in to help me, because I certainly felt his presence endlessly during this process. It was almost frightening sometimes how present he was. I felt as if he possessed me and took me over and made me do this in the most wonderful way, which has forever changed my life, actually.
And that was one of the things I wanted to ask you. I know you really were lost in yourself during this process, and where you're the founder of Sacred Activism, how has Kabir and writing the, you know, translating the poems and all, how has that changed your outlook with Sacred Activism?
Well, Sacred Activism is activism inspired by the deepest possible mystical consciousness, spiritual consciousness. It's the marriage of urgent, wise action with profound spirituality. In my book, The Hope, when I really created the map of sacred activism and the map of the global movement that is sacred activism, the poet that was at the core of it was Rumi, because Rumi has such a power to inspire passion for life.
Right.
Kabir is also for me at the core of sacred activism for three reasons. The first reason is that Kabir transcends all religion and all dogma. Rumi remained a Muslim, but Kabir rejected all the religious systems to say to humanity, go directly to the One. Don't bother about all of the rules and dogmas and do's and don'ts. Dare to plunge into prayer and meditation and saying of the name so profoundly that you get to a direct knowledge of your own deathless inner consciousness. That's very important because I feel as this crisis deepens and darkens, those who will be able to stay joyful, those who will be able to stay pouring themselves out, are those who have really not just read about oneness, not just done a few sweet little practices, but really been burnt away by the flame of devotion into a living flame of love and devotion and passion and truth. And Kabir is the most powerful guide to that. The second reason why Kabir is so essential for sacred activism is that Kabir understands the structures of what I call, what Robert Kennedy called, the structures of cold evil. He understands just how religions can control people and, in the name of giving them experiences, actually prevent those experiences being born by corralling them into dogma. He understands how people can be brutal in their pursuit of power. He understands how deep and shady the ego is and how relentlessly self-absorbed we can be, even in our mystical experiences. And as you know, while I acknowledge some of the great qualities the New Age has given us, I'm also very scathing about its narcissism. And what we need is a spiritual vision that understands the shadow, understands that there is in the divine a darkness, and it's in us too, and we have to deal with it. And Kabir makes no bones about it in us and in the world, and really challenges us to get real about it, not in a way that's depressing, but in a way that makes it urgent to transform ourselves into true representatives of the light. And the third reason why Kabir is so central to sacred activism is that, as I said, Kabir is a master of the transfiguration process, this tremendous mystery and secret at the heart of all of the traditions, which I believe is now the secret to the next level of humanity. I think this crisis we're living in is a mutation of a species. It's not just a transformation in consciousness that's required now. It's an embodying of that consciousness of the divine in the depths of our minds, in the depths of our hearts, and in the depths of our bodies to give us a wholly new level of energy and passion and calm and strength to rise to the often impossible seeming challenges of our time. So you can see that for me, Kabir is absolutely central to this galvanizing of sacred consciousness into action that is sacred activism.
Yes. Thank you for that. And explaining that, we're coming up on a break, and before we get into anything else, I'd like to share how to contact Andrew and get his book, get all of his books, because you've authored more than 30 books in your lifetime. That's a feat in itself.
I know, it's just exhausting just thinking about it. But this is
I'm exhausted. I don't know.
Help people most, I think, really.
Yes. So, so we're talking about Turn Me to Gold, 108 Poems of Kabir. To get in touch with Andrew and to purchase the book, and it's everywhere, on Amazon. And as you said, it's won awards already. But to get in contact with, it's AndrewHarvey, HARVEY.net. AndrewHarvey.net. The phone number, if anyone would like to call in, Bob is in the house. This is a live show. You can call 833-220-1200. Again, 833-220-1200. You can ask Andrew a question. You can share a thought, whatever you would like. But do call us, and we'll be back in a moment. Stay with us. Don't go away.
Experience a different yet profound healing with Reconnective Healing. includes yet expands beyond any and all known forms of energy healing. The reconnective healing spectrum is comprised of the full healing and evolutionary continuum of energy, light, and information. It allows for healings that are not just physical, not just mental, not just emotional, yet go beyond that to bring healing that includes the evolution of your very being and essence. Deborah Beauvais, trained and certified by world-renowned Dr. Eric Pearl, offers appointment hours at Seekonk Family Chiropractic in Seekonk, Massachusetts. For questions or to set up both distance or local sessions, call Deborah at 508-431-1959. Again, 508-431-1959. Or go to lovebyintuition.com. That's lovebyintuition.com.
Looking for a fun and relaxing getaway? Omega Rest and Rejuvenation Retreats are a great way to unwind and renew your spirit. You can stretch your body, quiet your mind, and do as much or as little as you choose. Join us in May and we'll waive the daily fees. Located in Rhinebeck, in New York's beautiful Hudson Valley, Omega's natural environment and quiet pace allow for extraordinary experiences to unfold. Learn more at eomega.org or call 877-944-2002. That's 877-944-2002.
Take a journey to a place of the divine love within with Deborah Beauvais on the Love by Intuition show, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. and 6 a.m. Eastern. Our message is love in the purest form. The light within us all is a guide to recall our beginning, to learn to love self and humankind, and to feel the higher power of our own divinity. To attract love, one needs to be love. Come join us and step into this glorious vibration called love.
After narrowly surviving the attack on Sandy Hook Elementary, first grade teacher Caitlin Roy DeBellis was left searching for answers that would never come. Eventually, she chose to focus on questions that could be answered. How do I make sure this tragedy doesn't define us? How do we get our control back? Those two questions led her to found the 501c3 nonprofit organization Classes for Classes. When gifts poured into their classroom, she decided they would help someone else by paying it forward and being kind. This developed into a social network which allows K-8 classrooms to connect so that every student in the United States can learn these crucial lessons. Classes for Classes' mission is to build students' social-emotional intelligence by connecting them to care. All C4C projects are crowdfunded. Any teacher in the U.S. can visit classesforclasses.org. That's classes, the number 4, classes.org. Sign up today.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Love by Intuition show, which is heard Monday through Friday, 6 a.m. and 6 p.m. Eastern Time. And I invite you to check out all our glorious hosts by going to Dream Visions, all one word with an S on the end, the number 7, radio.com. Again, you can take us with you wherever you go. But all the hosts that are there and more coming are all really coming from their hearts. They all have their mission, their purpose, modalities. Some of them are MDs that are now mind, body, spirit focus, integrative health, all of that. But by what they're doing, we're all going in the same direction to elevate the human race, tune into the love that we all are, and really find the joy in our lives. Everyone's thirsty for love and attention and all the things that the human being is made of. So, check that out. And we are, if you're tuning in right now, we're with the amazing Andrew Harvey. He's a Rumi scholar, mystic, founder of Sacred Activism. I mentioned earlier, he's authored 30 books. He's just a brilliant human being. You can get in touch with him by going to andrewharvey.net. Harvey is H-A-R-V-E-W, Harvey, andrewharvey.net. Now, Andrew, if we could get back to the purpose of the book and what gold means, you speak of fully someone that's fully bodied, inspired in the mind. But the big thing is, experiencing God in the body and actually in the cells.
Yes.
Do you think that the human being based that we are resonating in fear, each one of us, and it's elevated with everything that's going on, do you think that each one of us can get to the point of feeling God, feeling the higher intelligence in ourselves?
Absolutely. I think the whole meaning of the vast crisis that we're in is that it's a global dark night, and the dark night can either destroy or it can birth a wholly new level of presence in mind, heart, soul, and body. This has been the unanimous experience of all the mystics who've been through the dark night, and especially the great evolutionary mystics like Aurobindo and Jean Gebser, and to a certain extent Ken Wilber, and my great teacher, the great Christian mystic Bede Griffiths. I think what's happening is that we are going through this dark night, inwardly and outwardly, to end our addiction to power and to duality and to domination, so that love can take over our minds and hearts and bodies and initiate us into the next stage of human evolution, which has to be a stage of embodied divine humanity. So anyone who truly wants to do this work, or rather let this work be done in them through grace, will have the whole wind of God's wild hope for humanity behind them, the whole wind of the evolutionary impulse. This is known in the great mystical traditions, and there's been a lot of wonderful evolutionary mystics like Aurobindo, for example, and like Bede Griffiths and Teilhard de Chardin, who knew this because they were experiencing this. And I am experiencing this, and I'm not alone. There are hundreds of thousands of people in this world who have been woken up to the divine and found that the divine is now asking them to go the next step and bring the realization down from the mind into the heart and down from the heart into the body, and that if you do simple practices with great urgency and intensity in the practice that Kabir recommends and that I would recommend is the saying of the divine name, and offer your whole being, heart, mind, soul, and body to the divine to be transformed and transfigured, you will have subtle and extraordinary experiences that wake you up, not just to the light, but the way in which the light has taken form uniquely and with great passionate purpose as you. And this will change everything. It's not an easy process because there have been many messages, sometimes from the more schizophrenic mystical traditions, that the body is somehow illusory and mistake and riddled with sin and darkness. But once you unmask this message as ridiculous, because how could the divine have created anything out of light energy that isn't totally sanctified? And once you listen to the messages that everything is sacred and everything that has been made out of the light is sacred, then you can participate with this great evolutionary transformation, and since it's what's meant to happen, it will happen in you. I believe that, and there are so many modalities out there that can help you. The sacred dance, and there's some standing teachers of sacred dance who know this, like Banafshe Sayyad, the great Iranian sacred dancer. And there's now yoga, of course, and some yoga is trivial, but there are great yoga teachers who know this. Sean Korn knows this. Shiva Ray knows this. Karuna Erickson, with whom I wrote Heart Yoga, which was really about transforming yoga into its authentic purpose, that is to birth this new level of embodied divine humanity. They know this. There are wonderful practices, body practices, all available to us from the various mystical traditions that can help us. So all the help we need is available for those who really want to participate fully in this tremendous mutation that the race is going through.
Right. And there are so many people that have been, you know, the belief system is based in separation, and God is here and separate from us. But that,
yes.
But the source and that glorious intelligence is within us. We're all part of it. We're all that one mind.
And yes, but it's not just one mind. It's one body. The world is the sacred body.
Yes.
And the mind penetrates all of it. And it's very important to realize it's not just secular consciousness that has created this duality. It's also some versions of the mystical path. There are versions of the mystical path which tell you the world is an illusion, everything's an illusion, the only truth is the light. And of course that is half true. The light is transcendent and everything is created out of the light and the world is passing and the light is eternal. But the other and really galvanizing truth is that everything created out of the light is utterly sacred. So we cannot afford to think of the world as an illusion. We must think of it as a manifestation of the glory. And that fills us with joy and hope and optimism and also helps us re-sanctify our bodies in such a way that we can experience them as living, glowing, vibrant, energized temples of divine presence. And this changes everything.
Beautiful. Your words, your choice of words are just, they dance. They really have a life to them. I'd love to hear you speak all about this.
And it's something I live, and I tell you why I live it more and more intensely. It's because of Kabir. It's because of the time I spent in that strange little cottage in the middle of Arkansas and all over the world as I was traveling translating him. And Kabir came into me and taught me this from the inside so that I could transmit the words properly in this translation of mine. I was Kabirized, I think. I'm not completely, obviously. I'm not claiming to be anything like him. My God, it's like a little hill claiming to be Everest. But I do know through his grace what he's talking about. He's shown it to me. The field has shown it to me, the Kabir field.
Yes. So how do you feel about hate? Do you think it's more prevalent now, or has it always been and it's just more open? People are bolder now. What are your thoughts there? Which I know is away from the love, which very much is what I teach, is the love within, the love for self. But what are your thoughts on hate?
Well, I think we're living in a society that is descending at terrifying rates into real barbarism in some ways. And I think that hate has now been let out of its Pandora's box and given permission, unfortunately, by a certain person in power whose name we don't have to sully this broadcast with, who rules by encouraging fear and stimulating hate in the most dreadful and frightening way. That hate has always been simmering in American history, and it's always been simmering in all human beings. But now, through the degradation of the sacred, through the intensification of greed, through the permission that's being given by people in power, that hate has given license to orgy in our world, and it is extremely dangerous and extremely frightening. But I think in one way this is a good thing, and I say this with caution, but I say it with conviction. Now we can truly look at the darkness in human nature. It's all around us. It's erupting in all kinds of unspeakably dangerous ways. But that gives us an opportunity to become much more serious about our spiritual practice and much more discerning about our own shadows. We have to ask ourselves, how do we participate in this hate? Do we have this? Do we have racism? Do we have homophobia? Do we have misogyny? Do we have an addiction to our own tribal identity? Do we really think that our religion or our way is so superior to every other that it gives us the license to destroy or mock or deride other people. These are painful questions, because if you ask them really honestly, you'll find that everything that you're describing as hate out there has a tiny place in you, sometimes smaller than others, but it's very important for us at this moment, especially if we're going to go on the journey of embodiment, that we face our shadows, we face our collusion with the darkness, not to become discouraged, but to become encouraged to do the real work at a much deeper, more grounded intensity.
Yeah, well said. I'm glad that you said that. I feel the same in the sense that that person and all the things that have been transpiring, there's a purpose to it. It's almost like he's a tool, in a sense, to wake up the masses of people so that they can choose what they want to feed. Do they want to feed love? Do they want to feed hate? And what feels? Because I feel as though even the person that does the heinous crime, they're crying out for love. It's all about the love. And if the energy is put into the vibration of love and they feel that, then they can start choosing to use their energy to save the planet, to save people. But
I think it's a combination of those belief systems, though, too, the passing
down. And I think it's important, as you said, to ask ourselves, each of us, do we have hate? Do we have jealousy? Are we blaming? Are we judging? And we all are. We all have. And judging can be better.
Discerning and judging are different, aren't they? You can discern things in a crisp, clear way. You can discern, for example, that fundamentalism of any kind is extremely dangerous. But you don't have to hate the fundamentalists. Right. Because if you look at them really, you can admire certain aspects of their enthusiasm while having fierce compassion for the way in which their enthusiasm has allowed them to choose a philosophy which just increases the dark in them and doesn't really heal them. And then you need to do something about it by living an awake life that shows them that there is a much greater opportunity here. It's a complex and rich maneuver, isn't it?
Right. And the fullness of what someone can feel by having, the vibrant energy of the intelligence or source, whatever you want to call it, God,
right,
that's within us. When we feel that within us, it changes your whole outlook on why we're here on this earth. And I just trust that more people will feel that and choose to feed the love.
And even if they don't, even if, the certain person's publicity is so damaging and his maneuvers are so clever and there are more people who are supporting him at this moment today than there have been before in his presidency, although we've seen endless evidence of corruption and cruelty and madness. So even if the majority of people don't change and we descend, as we sometimes fear, into fascism and potentially face the end of the planet, even then, it will be essential for those of us who love God to be blazing beacons of love and joy so that we can be authentic guides and leaders to others and inspire them in impossible circumstances. So I hope you are right that the majority of human beings will awaken, but I'm preparing for the worst while still clinging to the best. My great friend Dorothy Walters says, acknowledge the dark. Acknowledge it. And acknowledge is a very strong word. See its power. Respect its power. Respect the power of darkness to seduce people into terrible actions. But stand in the light. Stand in the light. Don't sit in the light on your yoga mat, all the time. Stand in it. Stand up for justice. Stand up for compassion. Stand up for truth. Stand up for love. And then, and let God do with whatever God wants with that witness. But that's our job as lovers. That's our job as lovers of God. And I'm filled with rugged hope for the future because I see hundreds of thousands of people as I travel all over the world, seeing quite clearly that if we go on as we are, we will not only ruin any semblance of civilization, but draw the world to the brink of extinction and perhaps push it over. We've had two horrendously clear warnings. The United Nations in December, the Climate Committee said to us, look, if you don't change everything by 12 years ahead, we're headed into climate chaos, which could end in the extinction of the human race. And we've had the report this week, that a million species are now facing extinction with incalculable consequences, not just to the animals, but to us. If all the insects go, which they could in 4 years, there'll be very little food for the increasing population of the planet. So we have to get real about the power of the dark, but use that realization to plan ever more intensely into the light so that we can become witnesses to the light, and then whatever happens, we will still live a divine life on earth. This is what I believe.
Yes.
What I believe, it's what I experience.
Yes, I'm standing with you, Andrew.
Yes,
well, we
darling.
Need to take a break. Everyone, if you'd like to call, there's still enough time. Bob is in the house. The number, toll-free, 833-220-1200. You can join this profound experience we are having with Andrew Harvey. Back in a moment.
Take a journey to a place of the divine love within with Deborah Beauvais on the Love by Intuition show, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. and 6 a.m. Eastern. Our message is love in the purest form. The light within us all is a guide to recall our beginning, to learn to love self and humankind, and to feel the higher power of our own divinity. To attract love, one needs to be love. Come join us and step into this glorious vibration called love.
Omega Institute, offering workshops, retreats, and online learning dedicated to awakening the best in the human spirit. For over 40 years, Omega has seen more than 1 million people come through its doors to grow, learn, and find a greater sense of purpose. With over 350 workshops to choose from, Omega offers something for everyone. Located in Rhinebeck, New York, just 90 miles north of New York City, Omega's natural environment and quiet pace allow for extraordinary experiences to unfold. Learn more at eomega.org or call 877-944-2002. Again, 877-944-2002.
Are you searching for a way to help create global change? Dream Vision 7 Radio Network's vision is to have an eclectic group of radio hosts dedicated to educating, enlightening, and helping humankind with positive messages and tools that enhance lives using different modalities and programs. If you would like to join our team and help illuminate the universe, call Deborah at 508-226-1723 or Deborah at dreamvision7radio.com.
It's a child's job to play, to learn, and to have fun. It's an adult's job to keep them safe. Did you know that 1 in 4 girls and 1 in 6 boys will be sexually abused before the age of 18? Every day, families enter the Children's Advocacy Center because of child's courage to tell someone what happened to them. Keeping our children safe starts with a conversation. This is Michelle Aranger, Executive Director of the Children's Advocacy Center. Learn more on how to keep your child safe. Visit cacofbc.org. This message made possible by the Fall River Rotary Club.
Get ready to meet your personal team of light on the other side with psychic medium Laura Lynn Jackson. Omega Institute presents An Illuminated Life, opening to the secret language of the universe, June 7th to 9th in Rhinebeck, New York. Guided by Laura Lynn Jackson, you'll learn to connect with angels, spirit guides, and loved ones who have crossed over. For 20% off, mention discount code DREAM when you register for An Illuminated Life with Laura Lynn Jackson. Learn more at eomega.org.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
We're with Andrew Harvey. And Andrew, I wanted to just shed some light on Brett Hurd, the photograph.
Yeah.
Yes. How did you meet him, and how did he become the photographer for this phenomenal book?
Well, it's a wonderful story, actually. I was making a film about the White Lions with my great friend Linda Tucker in Timbervati, yeah. And Brett was one of the photographers on the shoot, and we really fell into deep friendship. And then one day he showed me his photographs. He was only 28 at the time, and I was absolutely gobsmacked by their authority and their maturity. And as our friendship deepened, I realized that what I needed for the book was precisely the kind of raw, pure, fierce, no-nonsense, but absolutely loving intensity that he brought to his photographs. So I said to him, let's do this. And I took him to Benares. We went to Benares. It was his first visit to India. Can you imagine going to India and then going to the crazy holy city where Kabir had lived in the 15th century, which is still so like that city, and plunging into the crazy, gorgeous holiness of Benares. And he absolutely was thrilled to his core, and he produced something like 700 extraordinary photographs. And then we chose the photographs very carefully together to match the poems, to speak to the poem. So the book is what I would call a modern illuminated manuscript. It's absolutely modern. It's been designed very carefully in the most austere, striking black and gold, black and white way. But it's also redolent of the deepest mystical truths. And he, in fact, the Nautilus Award that we got was specifically won for art and photography as well as the text. So he has been honored, and I think it's going to lead to a lot of exhibitions for him. I hope so, because he really is an astonishing photographer on the edge of greatness, I believe.
Yes. I mean, the pictures are incredible.
They are, because they really capture what Kabir captures in his poetry. They capture the exaltation of life, but they capture also the sadness of what happens when you don't do the work to uncover your divine nature. They're very compassionate in a fierce way, and they capture the hilarity too, the magic of what happens in reality. There are lots of very tender and magical photographs, and some very fierce ones, and some very exalted ones. So his photographs cover the gamut of emotions that Kabir himself celebrates. And there are wonderful photographs, too, about the divine body. There are two that I'm thinking of. One of boys just leaping into the Ganges, where he captures the rapture of the free body. And then there's a wonderful photograph too of young men in a gym when they're very concentrated in a holy way, and you can see that they're not just simply working out, they are truly trying to honor the divine in the sculpting of their own bodies. It's a very moving photograph. There are many, many wonderful, I think all the photographs are wonderful, actually.
Yes, yes. Do you have another poem? Do you have a favorite that you...
Oh, I do. I do.
Oh, please share.
Oh, this is, I think, one that you and I will love together. And it's one that... It's Kabir speaking out of the heart of embodied divinity and encouraging everyone to join him, knowing that it is everyone's destination.
I think that's one of my favorite.
The beloved is in me, and the beloved is in you. As life is hidden in every seed, so rubble your pride, my friend, and look for the beloved within you. When I sit in the heart of his world, a million suns blaze with light, a burning blue sea spreads across the sky, life's turmoil falls quiet, all the stains of suffering wash away. Listen to the unstruck bells and drums. Love is here. Plunge into its rapture. Rains pour down without water. Rivers are streams of light. How could I ever express how blessed I feel to revel in such vast ecstasy in my own body? This is the music of soul and soul meeting, of the forgetting of all grief. This is the music that transcends all coming and going. That's one of the greatest poems ever written, and it's so complete, because it's really about the whole being transformed, saying, my God, come and join me. It's so thrilling here. Why live a limited life when you can live in the core of your ordinary life a limitless life?
A limitless life, yes. It's, you know, and I think, Andrew, that it's so key to read that when you're in your own space, to read it and read it and sit with it.
Oh, yes.
And just let it marinate and see how you feel and how it can change the way you feel, or how it can make you go into a different direction.
Things. This is the initiatory power of poetry that arises from superconscious. These are poems that emanate from the highest realization that a human being can have. And they're not just words. They're saturated with the beauty and glory of that realization. And if you sit with Kabir, as I've sat for years now, and allow him to speak to you, in you, about your real you, that real you will hear the words, and you'll feel increasingly that real you, because that real you is what's speaking to you in the words. That's the amazing thing about mystical poetry at this level. And there's only Rumi and Kabir who are, in my experience, and I've read, I think, all of the great mystical poetry of the world, and there are only these two that are at the same level. So if you love Rumi, now is the time, my friends, to discover the Kabir. Rumi is Kanchenjunga, and for me, Kabir is Everest. Here we are with these two amazing heart friends to guide us into the next level of our truth and embodiment and sacred action. Fabulous, huh? What lucky things we are.
Yes, yes. And if everyone only knew how precious life was and the jewels of life, from even experiencing a plant and I mean, there's so much goodness that we can reap and bring within.
Well, the core of the Godhead is joy, and everything that the divine is doing is love in action. And if we experience it directly through mystical practice and through sacred dance and through a real yoga practice, my God, it changes everything for you, because you realize that everything that the mystics have been saying is not poetry. It's real. And when you discover it's real, you start to want to make it more and more real for yourself, and you yourself become more and more real, and out of that becoming more and more real, you start to stand up in your life and glow and start acting at this terribly dangerous moment without fear and without despair to serve the birth of a new humanity.
Absolutely. And the voice is so important. We only have a couple of minutes left. What's on the horizon for you, Andrew? Not that you need anything else. Your life is so rich with what you've given.
Well, actually, I feel as if I'm at the beginning of my life. I'm 67, but Kabir has made me drunk with boundless youth, as he says himself, and I'm really beginning again through his grace. And what's ahead is that I've just recorded with the great wild holy singer Chloe Goodchild and an amazing English musician who is Freddie Mercury's manager for a while, Nicholas Twilley. We've actually recorded a Kabir CD of some of the greatest of these poems. It's going to be called Turning to Gold, and it's going to be out within the next 2 or 3 months. So I'm thrilled by that.
Wow. Wow, and I'm sure that'll be everywhere where you could get it, on iTunes and
God, I'm going to give it out at the side of the streets. Because Kabir himself sang his poems. He didn't write them down. He entered into ecstasy. Rumi didn't write his poems. He went into ecstasy as he was dancing, and other people took them down. And Kabir was actually a musician and often thinks and speaks of God as a musician. And I felt very strongly that after doing these translations and presenting presenting them as beautifully as I could possibly do, and Unity Press did a hell of a job, the next step would be to find the world's greatest sacred singer and say to her, please, 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 join me. And fortunately, Chloe did, and amazing results. I read the poem, and then Chloe does all sorts of amazing things, steeped in the Indian tradition, but also in jazz and modern sounds, to really make something both ancient and contemporary. I'm absolutely thrilled, actually.
Yeah, you should be. I mean, but see how the creative juices are in the mix of things, because you're resonating in love and you're doing such incredible work to serve people. So all of this, all the juices are coming together.
They are, and it's so amazing. It's really the key, isn't it? Joy is the power. Love is the power. And if you can connect at the deepest level with that love and joy, you have access to divine creativity, and that pouring out of yourself, whatever kind of creativity you have, and it can be cooking spaghetti, it can be gardening, it can be anything, but you feel a wholly new level of excitement, and that gives you the joy and the energy that you need to really rise to this time and not be defeated by it, and to stand tall. As Winston Churchill says, keep calm and carry on. But as Kabir says, my father is the absolute Godhead, my mother is the embodied Godhead, I am their divine child, dancing for them both on their burning dance floor. You're taught by love and joy how to dance with your own particular unique gifts in the world and share them with the world, which makes you even more joyful, because once you see that you have this wild holy energy inside you, then you can really pour out your gifts in such a way that they can be received by others, and you can see the glow of joy on their faces, which makes the joy even deeper. It's a wonderful game God is playing with us, if only we can play it with
and
God.
I love that. A wonderful game God is playing with us. I love that. Because it's hilarious at times.
Yes, I mean, you have to stay tuned to the hilarity sometimes too, because the game has devastating sides, but even those devastating sides are designed to help you get real, and when you get real, you discover the great joy, the great bliss.
Yes.
And that is what we are on the earth to discover and live our lives from.
Yes. Beautifully said. Thank you so much for spending your time with us and enlightening us.
Oh, every time the show is heard, my darling. Thank you for your gorgeous work. Thank Omega for its continued pouring out of wonderful courses to help people. I'm so grateful to be with you.
Thank you, and bless you and all that you're doing. And everyone that's listening, share with your friends, your family. Listen again. Until the next time we come together, au revoir.
Are you seeking a clearer path to love? Then tune in to the Love by Intuition show next week. All designed to your highest good. To contact Deborah Bouffet, owner of Empowered Connections, call her at 508-226-1723. That's 508-226-1723. Or link on to lovebyintuition.com. Remember, we are all one, and we are all part of the miracle of love.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.